Welcome to this week's Planet Shakers podcast. Have you ever considered studying at Bible College? Well, the amazing team at Planet Shakers College are hosting a college open day on Wednesday, the 24th of May. For one day, you get to participate amongst our students, engage with our world-class lecturers, and soak in our chapel service. Sign up at www.planetshakers.com/college for more details. Now, for this week's podcast.
It's a year of victory. And when I was in South Africa, by the way, South Africa's crazy, what's happening in South Africa. It's great what's happening in Singapore too, by the way. In South Africa, it's supernatural. We're 1 year old this weekend, and we've had 4,200 plus, no, it'd be more than that, be close to 5,000 now, visitors in 1 year. The church has grown by 2,000 people in South Africa. I was there last week and we had just under 2,300 in church. How many know not everyone turns up every week? It would be good if we did. And by the way, you know, AI, we're going to do something on AI at some time because there's some great opportunities, but there's some great challenges with it. But one of the best ways not to get ripped off is be in a building with somebody and do deals face to face. What a great thing that you do come to church. You're going to be face to face. Just don't do your life online. Just helping you there to even get deeper in Jesus. Amen. I'm going to use AI for my benefit. Amen. But we're there and just under 2,300 people were in church on Sunday. It's our biggest attendance ever. We had 230 visitors. This is Mother's Day. Usually Mother's Day is low attendance because people go out with their mothers. And particularly in South Africa, Mother's Day is a big deal. 230 new people, 130 decisions. A bad Sunday in decisions now are 70 people. Now, we here in Melbourne, we're getting around 300 people saved every weekend. We have about 400 visitors a weekend. And our collective seven campuses in Melbourne is just under 15,000 people. So what God is doing is crazy. And here's the thing. We could have hundreds, if not thousands more, if we had more resource. And I sat there and I thought, we should never, ever let resource or the lack of stop us from living in opportunity. We've got to live this life of opportunity. And I felt God began to speak to me about opportunity, and victory is a life of opportunity fulfilled. See, God's done it all, but we've got to possess it now. God says, I'm going to give you Jericho and the other 31 cities. And they said, okay. And they had to come into agreement with the opportunity God had for them. 40 years before, they came out of disagreement with the opportunity and walked in the wilderness for 40 years. But under Joshua's leadership, they came into agreement with the promises of God, with the victory of God, and they took the opportunity. Even a prostitute called Rahab took the opportunity to see her family saved, and out of Rahab's lineage came Jesus. Opportunity. And so I want to speak to you today on it's a time of opportunity. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 to 16, three people are excited on the front row. Jesus then commanded Joshua commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp at Planet Shakers. Well, it doesn't say Planet Shakers, but I'll put that in today. And tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you're going to cross the Jordan River and take possession. Everyone say provision, possession. And take possession of the land your God is giving you. Say, God is giving me. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Then Joshua called the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And he told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you a place of rest. Now, I was preparing this last night. Pastor Neil and I haven't talked about rest or be still and know that I'm God or just walk in that. Pastor Neil gets up and talks about it in the offering. I didn't see the testimony video till just before, sitting when you saw it, and we heard about living in that place where you let God do it, but you step up in agreement. And now I'm reading this. Do you think God is saying something to us this morning? It says this: the Lord your God has given you a place of rest. He has given you this land. Land might be for you family situation, might be for you a job. It might be for you a breakthrough in a certain area where you need victory. Land is a place of possessing. Land might be a house. Land might be whatever you are looking to inhabit and settle in and live in. That's a place of land. Your wives and your children and livestock, many here in the land Moses assigned to you in the east of the Jordan River. Be strong warriors, fully armed. You must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. How cool is that? You see, he says, I'm going to give you a place of rest. It's going to be yours. I'm giving it to you, but you, he's saying to them and he's saying to us, need to use what he's given us, our provisions, to go and take what God has promised us. That's why the Bible says, he says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. You cannot be fruitful without seed. God gives everybody seed to become fruitful in. Then we multiply it, then we replenish, then we subdue, and then we have dominion in it. But if we don't sow the seed, we don't reap the dominion. In other words, if we don't take the opportunity to be a blessing, to see God move, we can live in a life of hope, but live actually hopeless because we haven't used what God's put in our hand. Is this okay? And it says this, and they only then you'll return and settle here on the east side of the Jordan River. Verse 16, they answered Joshua, we will do whatever you command us and we will go wherever you send us. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 to 12, talking about this situation, it says, the Lord your God will bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. Did you know the buildings or the land that the Israelites took over their period of time under Joshua, they didn't build those buildings. They didn't build that land, but God gave it to them as a possession. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you've eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget that the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. So God is saying here again, I'm going to give you a promised land, and that land is a place flowing with milk and honey. But they didn't build the place of milk and honey. He built the place of milk and honey. They possessed it. They possessed it with the provisions God had given them to possess it. I'm enjoying this sermon myself, actually. It's good for my soul. Galatians 6, 9 to 10 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Everybody say, what is good? At just the right time, we will reap. Everyone say, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially the family of faith. Wow. Remember that scripture we had in, I think it's Amos chapter 9, things are going to happen so quick, blessing, blessing, blessings, blessing, blessing, blessing. I just believe that this year is a year of victory, and victory is outworked in opportunity. God puts opportunity before us. So let's look at this. Firstly, opportunity is connected to the promises of God. He said to Moses, he said to Abraham, wherever your foot treads is your inheritance. So he needed to step into some places to inherit those places. So many times we believe for God to do things and he goes, God, and God says, no, go and step into those things. God, would you send revival? No, you go be the revival. God, would you save a city? He says, okay, you go and save the city. I've empowered you to save a city. Some things we pray for, God says, you're the answer to your prayer that you're praying for because I put my glory in you to bring the breakthrough for through you. As I drove in this morning, I see so many people lying down that we're feeding this morning. It just amazes me every week. And we could have lived and live in a place where we go, how are we going to afford this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to... Or we lived and there's a need and there's an opportunity, so we're going to sow what we have. We were in Cape Town and there the building's been built. They're feeding 600 people a week. It's amazing what God is doing there, what was happening there. It came through opportunity. Singapore, we didn't just happen. It happened because we stood and we took possession of a place and we're on our way to the journey of the fulfillment of it. In Papua New Guinea, we did our very first hub. That is the first one. It seemed like a pipe dream at some stage, but it's there now. Why? Because we took the opportunity. And now our church is in overflow in Port Moresby. Where the hub is an hour and a half flight, Pastor Neil, is it, away. So it's not like we're building the hub for the church. No, we're building the church and the hub at the same time. And what we're doing is we're saying to churches all over the world, come join with us. That's why we called it Believe and not Planet Shakers. So you can be a part of this and you can put a church in there because we want to build the kingdom of God. We don't want to build a brand. We want to build the kingdom of God. So here's opportunities for you. In COVID, we could have said, oh no, let's just survive. But we decided, no, we're going to empower. Because the promises of God, Acts 1:8, and you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, empowering generations to win generations. We didn't stop empowering people in the time where it was so challenging. Why? Because we got to live in opportunity. When they said we could meet, remember we did those 8 revival nights. What was that? It was an opportunity to get in His presence together that we hadn't had. When they said we could have 20 people, we had 100 services of 20 people. When they said you could have a service at 11:59 on a Sunday night, we did a service at 12:05 a.m. with 150. Why? Because we're not just going to sit back and hope things happen. We're going to live in the opportunity of the kingdom of God. Would you give God praise if you believe that? Opportunity is connected to the promises of God. Then He says, get your provisions ready. There is God-given provisions that is the key to you possessing the opportunity. There is, God has given us seed to produce trees. He's given us gifts to produce His kingdom on this earth. He's given us anointings that are provisions from God. He provides for us. So our provision isn't to keep to ourselves, it's actually to share. The boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes came with the provisions from his mom to have lunch, but those provisions were to be spread to feed a multitude. The woman with 2 mites had provision to give all that she had, and it literally has raised billions and billions of dollars for the kingdom of God through the 2,000 years since. Why? Because she took the provisions to sow to see something happen. She had no idea what was going to happen through those provisions. I didn't know, an evangelist wouldn't have known that when he went to a little village in Wales to bring the gospel, that there'd be a man called Tommy Evans, 17-year-old coal miner, family full of coal mining. He just came with an opportunity to preach. My grandpa went with an opportunity to hear. He heard the gospel. He took the opportunity to receive salvation. Then he got saved. And then he started living in the opportunity that came through the power of the Holy Spirit. He went to India, became a missionary in India. In the first 5 years, they had 2 decisions for Christ, but he kept living in the opportunity for the next 20 years and established something amazing. Then came back to Australia and then went to Papua New Guinea and saw an opportunity to bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the Sepik region. And then it just happened. And I stand here today because people took the opportunity God had put before them to do what God had called them to do. It came by taking the provision that someone had been given, a gift, a talent, time, and sowing it to see someone else have an opportunity. If we're going to live in opportunity, we got to cross over. We got to get more moving. We got to walk through the obstacles. Sometimes we look at the obstacles and they stand in our way and they actually intimidate us for the opportunity. Instead of letting them intimidate you, let them encourage you, because what they walked over is what they walked into. You see, what they walked over when the walls came down flat, they walked into Jericho. The walls didn't fall backwards, they fell forwards. They became a ramp to go in. And sometimes we look at the obstacles that stand in our way and say, it seems impossible, but there's a promise behind the obstacle. There's a promise across the Jordan River. There's a promise there. And you got to cross over in your heart from a place of intimidation to a place of inheritance. As we come around our miracle offering in June, we can look at all the intimidation and the obstacles that are happening in society. But if you live in the inheritance of opportunity and understand that you are a child of God, you're not just a citizen of Australia, you're a citizen of heaven. You have heaven's resources backing you up. And if we see the harvest is ripe, the Bible says the harvest is ripe. The opportunity is amazing, but the issue is never with the harvest, it's with the laborers. It's with the laborers. The reason why so many few laborers is because they look at the obstacles, not the opportunity. It's time to cross over. And you're going to possess opportunity that only God has prepared. God has prepared inheritance for us that are only possessed when you get moving, when you walk through, when you walk over. He prepared Jericho for Moses, but Joshua took it. Why? Because Moses wasn't prepared to come into agreement with him. He came into agreement with the obstacles of man. Wow. 40 years that promise had been waiting for them. In fact, it had been waiting way before that. The promises from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Land flowing with milk and honey. The promises of God had been waiting. God has got the promises waiting for you. They're just waiting at the end of our obedience. When we hear the term Jehovah Jireh first come into the Bible, it was when Abraham was given Isaac and he came and presented Isaac as obedience to God. And God says, no, don't touch the boy. I have a substitute waiting for you in the thicket, a ram waiting in the thicket to come and bring as a sacrifice. But it wasn't until Abraham went up the mountain. He thought it was a mountain of sacrifice, but actually it was a mountain of opportunity. And it's a picture. A lamb in the thicket was there waiting for his obedience. Jesus, the Lamb of God, died upon a hill, sacrificed for us to give us opportunity to walk boldly into the presence of his Father. Opportunity comes because God has prepared. And here's the problem. We get weary in well-doing. But I'm here to encourage you. Don't get weary. Don't look at your bills. Don't look at your situation. Look at your God and declare Him over your situation. Don't get weary in well-doing. A harvest is around the corner. It is waiting for you. God has prepared it. And the reason why so many people don't live in it is because they get weary. You see, it says, as I read in Galatians, don't get weary in well-doing. Let's go back there. I'll find it somewhere. And it says this. At the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, we have the opportunity. We should do good to everyone. You know, every time we enlarge a building, it's about getting more people in to experience the goodness of God. You know, every time we do believe, it's about reaching more people. You know, every time we do empower, it's about meeting needs of more people. Every time we do conferences, it's about places that people can encounter God, get a dream from God, and live in the opportunities of God. It is about everyone encountering the goodness of God. Show me your glory. Let your goodness pass by me. Opportunity is waiting for us, Planet Shakers. And I am encouraging you all, pray and seek God for what you are to do. Pray and seek God what you do with your life and step into the year of victory, which is a year of opportunity. Kublai Khan is famous because Kublai Khan was the one who was the grandson of Genghis Khan, and he was the one who united China to become China, who China was, and Korea and Mongolia. And so he was a very influential man of his time, and he was the one who unification of China, which had been divided since 1618 to 1907 at the end of the Tang Dynasty. In 1269, Kublai Khan sent a request from Peking to Rome for 100 wise men of the Christian religion. And so I shall be baptized, and when I shall be baptized, all my barren and great men will be baptized and their subjects baptized, so there'll be more Christians here than there are in your parts. Think about that. That's an opportunity. The Mongols were then wavering in their choice of religion. It might have been a Kublai forecast, the greatest mass religious movement the world had ever seen. The history of all Asia would have changed. Our lives in Australia would have changed today. But what actually happened is Pope Gregory X answered by sending two Dominican friars, and they got as far as Armenia, and they could endure no longer and return home. So they passed the greatest missionary opportunity in the history of the church. Imagine if they got to the place and they baptized Kublai Khan, and then the barons got baptized. Then all of society would have got baptized, and Christianity would have been the religion of China. Imagine what the world would look like today through that opportunity. Sometimes we look at a situation, we go, oh, it's too hard. No, 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 no. The reward at the end of it is so huge, we never know. The reward is so huge. There are times where I've looked at situations and I go, God, that's so challenging. And God says, your challenge is my triumph. Watch what I do. I work all things together for good for those who are called according to my purpose. There's been times I've seen it seem like restriction or contraction, but God says, no, I'm actually cutting, I'm actually pruning so you can produce more. And so instead of getting hurt by the pruning, get encouraged by the future. This time as a leader, I've been hurt. And I'm like, oh God, you know, and you feel like giving up. But guess what happens? No, you keep believing and you keep living an opportunity. And the truth is, the multitudes of people we are reaching has happened because of the pruning. And I had to look at the pruning as an opportunity, not as a trouble. Opportunity. Come from Rome to Peking, get to Armenia. It seems too far. So I go back. And so many people live their life like that. They step out with the opportunity and they get to the place of opposition, the place of battle, and they step back. Instead of pushing through the battle, walking in the battle, taking the promised land and take the opportunity God has for them. And then when God blesses them, to be dependent upon Him and say, you're the God of opportunity. I didn't create it, you did. I just was obedient to it. Because obedience and opportunity go hand in hand. Overcoming victory comes by obedience to the opportunity God has for you. So my challenge to us, Planet Shakers, as we come into June, as we come into the second half of this year, let's not live. We've had a great start to the year. What an amazing start. Best ever in our history. Look at a 9:30 service. It used to be, before COVID, just that front area. Now we're back in that back area. The 11:30, we'll put out 8 more rows. 3:30 full. 6, God is doing amazing things. Cape Town, South Africa. Our campuses, we're expanding our Geelong campus to put a 200 extra chairs in it because it's full in both services. We're looking for property for our southeast because it's full. We're living in opportunity. Papua New Guinea, we've got to find a new venue or go into 2 services because we're full. Sydney, we're now at a full capacity. We've got to increase the building. Why? Because it's full. And Pastor Josh got a word. He says, as you build it, the bigger you build it, the I'll fill it. Live by opportunity. Live it in your family. Live it in your business. Live it in your future. Live with a mindset of victory. It's a mindset of opportunity. So we're going to worship God for a moment. And I want us to get our hearts in alignment with His opportunity, not the obstacles. Let's be like Joshua and Caleb. And when they came, to take the mountain, take the promised land, Caleb said, give me this mountain. He said, I was a man who believed 40 years ago. Now I want my mountain. And some of us are here, been believing for a long time, and now it's time to take your mountain. Some of us have been believing for a short time. It's still time to take your promised land. The more I know, the more I desire. The more I know that God is with me, the more I desire to do greater things for Him. The more I know Him, the more I operate in His glory. The more I know Him, the more opportunities I step into. The more I know Him, the more faith I live by. Come on, let's live by opportunity.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope that your faith was filled and you were encouraged. If you have any prayer requests or want to connect with us further, search for us on our social media at Planet Shakers. We'd love to hear from you.